Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Cataracts are by far the leading cause of blindness throughout the world, yet this is a treatable condition.
This week, we'll speak with Jacob Mohan Desatu, President and CEO of Help Me See, about how this problem can be solved with a low-cost and high-quality solution aimed at restoring sight to millions of people. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Mohan.
Nobody needs to remain blind. With the technology and the training solutions that are available today, more than 90% of all blindness could be eliminated or treated with the skills that we can acquire through advanced training systems. And Help Me See is developing a surgical simulation-based training solution which will train large number of cataract surgeons to provide high-quality surgery at the most affordable prices that we can eliminate the backlog of cataract blindness to begin with and eventually eliminate all forms of cataract blindness and visual impairment.
And your reach is worldwide?
Our reach is worldwide, yes.
And in the rest of this show, we'll be talking about how Help Me See is trying to accomplish those goals and spreading their techniques and resources around the world.
And in spite of what you may think you heard him say, they are realistic enough to know that not all blindness is caused by cataracts, and not even all blindness that is caused by cataracts is reversible, but the vast majority of it is, and that's the problem they're trying to solve.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
eSight, maker of digital eyewear designed to help improve vision for people with low vision and legal blindness. The technology can be used to read, see faces, and explore the world. More information is available at eSightEyewear.com. Let's start by meeting Mohan.
My name is Jacob Mohan Desatu, and I'm the president and CEO of Help Me See.
So tell us a little bit about yourself in terms of your background, how you came to this position and working with the visually impaired around the world.
Well, my background is, for most part of my professional career, in international development issues, particularly in economic development. And I have lived and worked in Africa, Asia, Latin America, Europe, and now, of course, in North America. In my professional career, I have been in mostly human development issues, essentially issues for which you can find sustainable solutions through basically a social enterprise model. That's what I had been focusing on most of my life, professional life.
And I take it you yourself are not visually impaired. Have you had any contact or history of visual impairment in your family or friends?
No, that's not what brought me in. I'm not visually impaired, but my exposure to blindness came when I was in my graduate studies. I was volunteering in a blind school in the middle of nowhere in India. And I volunteered there for practically the whole time that I was studying in that city for about 2 to 3 years. It was quite distressing to see in a blind school, basically relegated to life as a blind person in the blind school environment. And later on, I also got to realize that a good number of those children, if they got the right time, they would never have been blind. That always had an emotional tug onto my heart.
How did you get involved with Help Me See? That must have happened many years later.
Later on in my life, I came across Albert L. Yochi. He was running Flight Safety International at that time. He was on a lifetime quest of eliminating blindness with a concept of a flying eye hospital. And he had been working on that since the 70s under the influence of Juan Trip, who was the founder of Pan Am, and particularly Juan's daughter, Betsy Trip, who was very interested in setting up a flying eye hospital to train in developing countries. So Al Yochi, he was looking for someone to work for him to look at his philanthropic affairs when he merged flight safety with Berkshire Hathaway of Warren Buffett. So he would have more time to focus on his philanthropic efforts. So that's when I reconnected again on the cause of blindness.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
This week's focus topic is the work Help Me See is doing to eradicate blindness due to cataracts worldwide.
So you were telling us that you had the feeling that much blindness around the world is preventable and really shouldn't have happened. So that leads us into talking about Help Me See. Can you give us an idea of what this organization does? What is your mission?
The mission of Help Me See is focused on cataract blindness, because 60 to 70% of all blindness in the developing world particularly is due to cataract-related blindness or visual impairment. Help Me See was founded by Al Yochi and his son, James T. Yochi, primarily to focus on cataract-related blindness or visual impairment. There were a few reasons to that. In addition to the fact that this is the most prevalent cause of blindness, it was also that this is a surgical problem that a person needs to go through in order to change the cloudy lens inside your eye. So there is a surgical procedure involved in, and also there is a component of training of surgeons involved, Al Yochi and Jim Yochi. They are in the business of training pilots. So training had been in the DNA of the Yochi family altogether, which essentially resulted in flight safety. So training always resonated with them. And training in surgery was a new challenge, which they were prepared to look at after they successfully established flight safety as the world's premier pilot training organization.
That's quite a switch from training pilots to training people to do cataract surgery.
Absolutely, yes. In fact, Al Yochi's first hour of interview with me way back in 2001 was that he said, look, if I can train 75,000 pilots to fly the planes every year and we don't have a single incidence of loss of aircraft or loss of pilots in all the history of flight safety, why can't we train 30,000 cataract surgeons to deliver effective cataract surgery? That was a conversation that he had with me in 2001 in the first hour of my conversation with him.
I understand that before going out and training all of these surgeons, first, your organization developed a different method of doing the operation that was safer in remote areas?
Well, we did not do it. We went into the field of cataract surgery with a very, very open mind and looked at all the surgical procedures that are tried, tested, and proven around the world, and identified a procedure which is equally effective. And we also needed to find a surgical procedure that is cost-effective so that ordinary people can afford it, regardless of where they live. The people in most of the world who are blind, they do not have the government or insurance company paying for their medical procedures or surgical procedures. Most of them, it is pay-as-you-go. In China and in India, they do not have any effective insurance coverage. So they have to pay as they go, which essentially means that if there is a surgical procedure or a medical procedure that is too extraordinarily expensive, then they will not be able to afford it. So we needed to find a procedure that is already tried, tested, and proven. And at the same time, it's effective and it is cost-effective as well. That's the procedure that we are looking for.
And what procedure did you select?
Very fortunately, there is a procedure in manual small incision cataract surgery that is tried and tested. Millions and millions of people have already gone through that procedure, and it is very cost effective. It's very affordable for ordinary people. So we took that procedure and then developed that into a training system.
So just for any listeners who may not know what a cataract is and its impact on vision, can you give a quick summary of what a cataract is?
Cataract is the clouding of the natural lens that we are all born with. And if you live long enough, then the natural lens inside your eyes can become cloudy and you can become blind. And as I said, if you live long enough, you will get cataract.
But some people get them as children and are even born with them.
That is correct. There is a congenital form of cataract where children are born with cataract. And that's a very, very small number of children, about 5 to 6 children born in every 10,000 children born may have that situation. Whereas most of the incidence of cataract is in population above 60. Worldwide population, 99% are the adult population and about less than 1% are children.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the bottom line is, if you're able to remove the clouded lens and replace it with a clear lens, you can restore vision to what it was before the cataract formed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They can get nearly, I would say, a 20/20 vision as long as they don't have any other comorbidity conditions related to the eye, like the diabetic retinopathy. For majority of the population who get cataract, you can restore their vision to their earliest good vision that they had.
Could you, without going into a whole lot of detail, explain what's special about the particular surgical procedure that you selected? You said there were many to choose from.
Primarily, there are about 4 different procedures. One was the extracapsular surgery. That's essentially taking the whole top of the eye off and then taking the lens out and putting a new lens in. That requires suture, that requires recovery time, and you may not get the vision that you had. That's a procedure that's on its way out. The second procedure is called phaco. Phaco is basically an ultrasonic device probe with a small incision that you insert into the eye and emulsify the old lens and suck it out and then aspirate it out. And then you put a new foldable or a full lens as the case may be. So that is called phaco. That procedure in the United States costs about $3,000 to $3,500. Then the other procedure is the latest one, which is femtosecond laser surgery. That costs about $6,000. So these are the different procedures. One is completely barbaric. The other two are simply impossible for ordinary people to afford.
And I gather the fourth procedure is the one Help Me See selected.
That is correct. The manual small incision cataract surgery is a very elegant manual procedure. It requires about 12 steps to do the surgery, and we have documented it in about 1,200 pages of documentation on what that 2.5-3 minutes, maximum 5 minutes surgical procedure will take. And with that 12 steps and using about 8 to 10 different tools, we have surgeons who do that surgery in about 2 minutes to 2.5 minutes. And they can remove the cataract lens and replace it with a solid lens. And it doesn't require any sutures. And they can basically restore their vision to what they were used to before. So that's a procedure that we have taken because of the elegance and its trainability and as a fundamental procedure. By the way, that procedure, manual small incision cataract surgical procedure, is primarily about 90% of all the training any effective resident in the United States or anywhere in the world should be getting, because 95% of the procedure is anterior segment surgical skill. So this is a fundamental skill that everybody should be having. But unfortunately, because of whatever the reason, that is not the way surgical training is organized today, where surgical training is more about technology and more about expensive way of treating people. So most of these residents in the United States don't even get a proper anterior segment training.
Yeah, I was also to ask you why this last procedure wasn't more widely used in the U.S. if it's so simple and quick and efficient. And I guess you gave us the answer.
It's a procedure that follows the money. Where you can make more money is what you do the procedure. Why would you want to have a femtosecond laser surgery at $6,000 with bells and whistles added, which is not substantially improving the quality of the surgery compared to phaco, you know? And then you have a whole population, 90% of the world's population, cannot afford anything more than $100 for the surgery.
You mentioned huge numbers of blind people worldwide who could benefit from cataract surgery. How many eye doctors are there who could do the surgery?
Worldwide, there are about 200,000 ophthalmologists. About 50,000 of them are good cataract surgeons. Now, if you look at the cataract surgeons, I would say a large majority of those cataract surgeons are in the developed countries. They are not in the developing countries. Say, for example, in India, they have about 14 to 15,000 surgeons, of whom about half of them, they do not do any surgery. And if you went to China, it's exactly the same situation. About 22,000 ophthalmologists, barely half of them do any surgery. The problem is they do not get enough opportunity, practice on live surgery in order to make their skills better. And that's one of the biggest issues. So worldwide training is a big issue in surgery.
How does an organization like yours interact with 30,000 doctors and surgeons around the world, different countries, different languages, to make these things happen?
To answer your question, how do we handle this problem? The only way this problem can be handled is by very highly organized training system, and particularly as we used in aviation. Aviation had the same problem. Second half of 1900s, after Second World War, there were more number of planes than the number of pilots. And the pilot training was horrible because pilot training was done in live flights and pilots died in training. So it was a very similar situation, probably much more drastic than in ophthalmology because people did not die. They remained blind in the case of ophthalmology. So we are addressing the same problem. How can we develop a simulation-based technology to train large number of surgeons effectively as well as with the high-quality surgery that they can provide? So that's the only way to solve this problem. So we work with the ministries of health, the local medical institutions, to essentially revamp the whole training system for surgical training by providing virtual reality simulation solutions where we have the physical eye, when I say physical eye, the physics models of the eye, which behaves and acts exactly like a real human eye on which you can practice and practice and practice. And so the trainee will go through about 400 near equivalent of a live eye for their practice before they can even sit for a live surgical training test.
So it's kind of like the airplane pilots getting into a flight simulator.
That is correct.
And then they get to experience all sorts of different possible complications, and this eye looks a little bit different from that eye, so they get to practice in a variety of situations?
Exactly. Like a human eye, for the whole human race, the touch, feel, the pressure, intraocular pressure, and all that is common, regardless of race and regardless of geographic regions. Now, what is different is the color of the eye. You know, what is different is the nature of the cataract. Some cataracts are hard and some cataracts are soft and so on and so forth. So essentially what we have is a simulation-based training system where the virtual real eye, which also includes about 250 complications in a 5-minute surgical procedure. So it is not only the variety of the eyes, but also the complications that you can face in a surgery. This is exactly what we do in aviation. In aviation, you basically train on what could go wrong. In surgery, that is not how surgical training takes place in the current surgical training system with the residency programs and so on and so forth. So we are bringing the whole aviation discipline into training surgeons to acquire proficiency by learning every variation and every complication that they could ever conceive of. Even if it can happen only once in 1,000, they would have already learned it in the training environment.
It's interesting how the learning and practices in one field can apply to a very different field and be successful. So this was the key to your success then in terms of rolling these surgeons out to be able to do the surgeries more effectively.
Absolutely.
You talk about training surgeons and bringing this surgery worldwide. How do you actually deliver the surgery to the people who need it?
That's an excellent question, Nancy. This is where we are one step ahead, or hopefully, in finding a lasting, sustainable solution. First of all, we have developed an application called the SightReach app, which is a population-based blindness surveillance system, which can be used by even a semi-literate or an illiterate person because it's all icon-driven and uses the cell phone technology, primarily the Android technology, where we can locate every blind person in the whole world with a latitude, longitude, and altitude. What it essentially enables us to do is to identify their digital addresses, where these patients are located in the surgical coverage area of a surgical practice. And with the altitude, it also gives us the friction values on the difficulty to reach those patients by the surgical practice and what's the most effective way to get to them. With that information already given to the surgical practice, when the patient walks in, the surgical practice already knows the location of the patient, what kind of service is required, and how to support that patient for follow-up after surgery. And the patients are brought in by the community health agents. As I said, they could be semi-literate or even illiterate. And once they connect the patients with the surgical practice, they are assured of a high-quality surgery that they can get, and also 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks follow-ups, and with a permanent record that they have on the system. And all the data is managed on the cloud. So every time when a patient is identified by a community health agent, that information is populated worldwide. We can see that on our own cloud database, how many patients are waiting in a given community, however remote they might be.
How do you maintain sufficiently clean surgical environments in these remote areas?
As we have standardized the surgical procedure, as I said, there are about 10, 12 steps. We have designed and now making available in every market a pre-sterilized single-use surgical kit, which essentially eliminates any safety issues related to contaminated tools or antibiotics or quality of antibiotics or any post-surgical infection that might emanate from use of poor quality surgical tools. So this pre-sterilized single-use kit, we are manufacturing on a worldwide basis and with the most rigorous quality assurance systems. Essentially, what it does, we combine with all these three elements, surgical training and population-based blindness surveillance and the pre-sterilized single-use kit, we could provide the surgical service at a cost of not more than $100 anywhere in the world. So that's our commitment. So every surgeon who goes through the training system in the Help Me See simulation-based training, they can make use of an organizational setup that will support them with population-based blindness services using our SightReach app, as well as pre-sterilized single-use kit, which they can use and still make a profit with about $100 per surgery that they can charge every patient, either paid by the patient themselves or the local insurance or the local governments themselves.
How close has Help Me See in sending out surgeons around the world to do these surgeries?
So we just started our instructor training. We have a training center set up in Mumbai, and we are also setting up two training centers in China to train more number of instructors. So it is still in the making. We have just completed the simulator development side of it, and now it is getting into the training of instructors and testing of the effectiveness of the system with actual students.
Well, that's exciting.
Now for this week's final item, how to get more information about Help Me See and how you could get involved if you would like to.
So if people want to learn more about Help Me See or get in contact with your organization, how would they go about that?
I would direct them to our website, www.helpmec.org. I think that's the best way to connect with us. And on the website, you have additional contact information. And we are right in Manhattan, in Midtown, and very prominently placed, not very far from Empire State Building and Penn Station and Port Authority. So we welcome anybody who is interested in walking in and getting more information.
Can you give us a general contact email address and telephone number?
The best contact would be info@helpmesee.org. Phone number would be 212-221-7604. That's the general number.
Great. And do you have a social media presence?
Absolutely. We are on Facebook. Again, Help Me See on Facebook. You can definitely get to the Facebook icon on our website or directly go to Facebook and search for Help Me See.
Are you looking for volunteers or any other kind of support?
Yes, we are always looking for volunteers who are interested in primarily spreading the word, building awareness, developing contacts within the country for financial and technical resources, as well as surgeons who are interested in manual small incision cataract surgery. We are always looking for volunteer resources in those areas. And probably some of it also of international nature. Like, say, for example, we have a good number of U.S. Surgeons who are on our instructor pool. They go out to our surgical training facilities with simulators. They train instructors and they train trainees. So, yes, there are volunteer opportunities. It's always available.
Where does the funding for this type of effort come from?
Funding substantially comes from Albert Elyochi Foundation. Before he passed away in 2012, he signed the giving pledge with Bill Gates. And as part of his commitment to the giving pledge, his son, James Yochi, he's a trustee of the foundation. The family foundation supports Help Me See to develop the technology, all the capital investments needed for the development of the technology.
Well, it sounds like a great way to make a huge impact around the world and substantially improve people's lives.
That was Al Yochi's vision. He said whatever that he is leaving behind should be seen as an investment in further development of humanity and not just as funds to be distributed as grants. That was one thing he was very clear about. This is an investment. This is an investment in technology, investment in skills where it will have lasting impact, sustainable impact in the long run.
And don't worry if you missed any of that contact information or other information that he mentioned. That can all be found in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. So if you want to get involved or find out more, that's the place to go.
That's it for show number 1611. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be speaking with a blind active duty police officer. Yes, you heard that correctly. Marlon Parejo in Trinidad and Tobago lost his vision several years into his career as a police officer. After mastering some adaptive tools, including a screen reader and a white cane, he's continued his work successfully. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.